evening, everybody. Welcome to Eagles Way. If you'll start making your way in, have a seat. Chill out. It's good to see everybody here on a Wednesday night. These are fun. These are good times. To search the Lord and just to be cool and calm and let Him take over. Just let Him work inside of you. I kind of struggled a minute on what I could welcome you guys with, but I'm just going to talk about something that's been on my heart. I started reading this little 30-day detox thing, and the first day is really about just asking God why. Like, sometimes I have, like, maybe these little anger issues, and I never even try to deal with them, but just saying, God, why? Show me why. And I'm just kind of going through that journey a little bit of talking with God back and forth. And a thing that's been on my heart a lot, I'm not here to talk about football at all, but I'm going to bring it up just a tad. Because there's people that just get persecuted over things that I'm like, why? You know, I love Coach Rick, but the whole state of Georgia thinks that they should just kick him to the curb and say goodbye. And it's like, why do you let that bother you so much? That we lost. We lost. I wanted to win. Great. But why let things bother us that we just shouldn't let bother us so much? And I'm kind of on that journey because I've been, well, a part of that. When I let things just take control of my life and just eat at me and get mad and angry. But I'm just trying to get over that. And I want to welcome you here tonight, because if you have anything like that in your life that you just want to give to the Lord, tonight's a night to do it. Tonight is the night just to say, God, you know my heart. You know where I want to be, God. Just help me through it. And we know He can help us through it, right? So let's stand and let's worship this God who is unbelievably awesome, who loves us, cares for us so deeply.
Whoa! My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hand. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to you I bring again. And I will ever love and trust you in your presence. I will
first, you go before. You are the last, Lord, you're the encore. Your name lights for all to see. The starry host declare your glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God. Light of the world, the bright and morning star. Your name will shine for all to see. You are the one. You are my glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory.
We were talking with my daughter this week, and you know, so easily it's easy to, in times of, you know, joy and gratitude and good things going on, it's so easy to, you know, feel that happiness, feel that joy, just feeling that peace. But then a situation comes up, you drop your coffee or your tire's flat or something like that, and it's just immediate, like, ugh. And I was telling my daughter, I was like, you know, situations are going to change, but we got to keep that constant joy. And I was like, wow, I need to do that. And I was like, I'm telling her these things, and I'm like, wow, I needed to hear that again, because I am constantly just changing emotions just on the littlest things. Oh, Riley doesn't know where his shoes are, or darn, the chicken nuggets are defrosted, whatever. And it's just, you know, it's just situational. And God promises us everlasting peace, that Holy Spirit is there within us, right? And we just call upon Him, and He's already there. But so easily we rely on those situations and bring that worry and bring that stress and bring that strife, whatever it is. And I just had to sit back and go, wow, how many situations I'm just letting determine my day. And, you know, just letting it go of, oh, I'm going to be sour, I'm going to be mad, whatever. It's just a situation. And I told her, I said, life's going to have all of this. We just got to ride it like butter. Just slide right through this and just, you know, take it for what it is and learn what we can. And anyway, so the song's about Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. He's always here. He's always welcome. He lives and resides within us. And I'm just so grateful that He's there to help us out of those. Yay. He's awesome.
You.
Ephesians 5 and verses 19 through 20 says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, when Paul wrote these words, he wasn't talking about just an experience like right here, that we give thanks in everything. But he was talking about that our lives become one where we give thanks in everything. And Dad spent the night with me at the farm last night so I could have Ann at school early and he could be home with the boys. And then it was just a sweet, sweet time together with him. And the things that just poured out of our hearts was thanksgiving. And you've heard Ralph say a lot, and he talks about our language should be gratitude, thanksgiving, appreciation, and praise. And Dad and I began to talk about those things because sometimes we say it and we loop, just kind of lump it together as the same thing when they're just, there are levels of it. And it just become, you know, becoming more aware of what those levels are. And this, we would share different stories or experiences, and everything went back to gratefulness, appreciation, thanksgiving, and praise. Everything that we talked about went back to just a shift, and to thankfulness. And this next song is a very, very old song, and it's called "Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary." And what a sanctuary is, it is a holy, sacred place of worship. And so my prayer for me and for you is that we become a sanctuary. We become a holy and a sacred place of worship, not just on the first Wednesday or on a Sunday, but every single day. It's like when Bobby Joe's singing that, "Let me become more aware of your presence. Let me become more aware of you." And thank you. And appreciation with gratefulness just pouring from our souls. And you know, it's like Brandon was sharing at the beginning, we get so wrapped up in things that really don't matter. But when we are being thankful, it's impossible to be angry. When we are being grateful, it's impossible to worry. When we are praising God, it's impossible to think about anything other than who He is. Amen? So as you sing this song, sing it with the thought, with just pouring through your spirit, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, to be a house of worship, to be a house of thanksgiving, to be a house of praise." And all these other things will just seem like nothing compared to the glory of what it is to seeking after Him first, to praising Him.
Tried and true. Thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for this house. Thank you for an opportunity to always shift and to be able to look up and to always see you and to see your glory and to see your goodness. And Father, that is what we chase after. It is you we long for. It is you we want. It is you, it is you. It is you, God. We thank you.
That song. We hadn't sung that song in a long, 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 long time. And it's good. Real good. God's got a plan. I've got a part. Perseverance is the key. We're getting it. God's got a plan. I have a part. Perseverance is the key. You know, there's only one way you can mess up for good. That's to give up. It's the only way. He'll bless your mess. He'll bless everything about you as long as you don't give up. All you got to do is just not give up, right? Break a measuring stick up there. Do it. Break the measuring. You know, I had to break another measuring stick this week. Sometimes it just happens. You just fall back. You know, you've done something for all your life. It's kind of difficult to get out of the habit. How many know that? And you find yourself slipping back, then you got to slip back here. You got to keep making those shifts back and forth. And I found myself, I was talking to Mother on the phone. She had a really bad day yesterday, and yesterday evening I was ministering to her on the phone, trying to build her up and pick her up. And I just started thinking about after it was all over that I was really heavy burdened about it. I thought, you know what, same God in me is in her. And same God who lifts me up is going to lift her up. Same God who did that. She reads her Bible every day. She prays every day. She talks to God every day. And so the same God that ministers to everybody else is going to minister to her. And I think even in probably a more special way. Because I believe he really loves old people. The older I get, I think he just loves older people more and more. I just really think he does. And there's all this thing. I hear you. Michael, God's got a plan. You have a part. Perseverance is the key. Perseverance is the key in your life right now. You persevere, and you know that God is with you, in you. You got such an anointing of God in your life. It's not gone anywhere. It's only going to increase more and more and more, and you're going to see the glory of God more and more and more. Persevere. Do not give up. Persevere. I remember the first night we had these meetings, you were here, and I remember the prophecy I gave to you and what I spoke over you. And I just want to tell you that the Lord one time, he said to his disciples, he said, I want you to go and you'll find the donkey tied. Go to the owner and just say, the Lord has need of it. And they just took that donkey. And nobody said a word, and nobody tried to hinder them. And I just want you to know the Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. And you're going to carry his presence in a special, special way. Every time I see you, I'm drawn to you with that. You gotta hold that. Hold that tight. Hold that tight. There's an old poem. I'll say a word to you right quick, buddy. It was an old poem, and I forget exactly how it goes, but a man came to a road. It was across two roads. He said one road was well taken. It was already beaten down and a lot of traffic on that road. But he said he looked at another road, and it was not. And he said, I took the road less taken, and it made all the difference. The Lord just wants you to know in your life today, take the road less taken that you haven't taken. Take that road. Don't go down the same path. Take this road over here, less taken. It's going to make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. The familiar things are the things sometimes we need to move from. We need to move from what's so familiar to something else. You were born and created for change. Ongoing change. Every day, every month, every year, we are made to change. You go through the New Testament, it said from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You're made to change. Just as the seasons every year change. God made it that way. He said in Genesis, as long as the earth remains, every seed time and harvest, every night and day, these seasons are going to be. And every one of these seasons are important. They're not just there for no reason. There's a season, the reason for the season. And the changes that God is making in our lives is going to be awesome. I never felt after a message Sunday the way I felt. And there's a glory of God that's going to be so prevalent in this church that it's going to be so thick and so rich that are going to be times of which you can't hardly say anything. You won't be able to. And it's not a heaviness of depression. It's a heaviness of purpose. It's a heaviness of His presence. And there's nothing like it. And that presence can be felt anywhere. And Dustin and I were talking last night. It was just the presence of God that overwhelmed us. The glory of God that overshadowed us. And it just came down in that room. And right there, I felt just as much of the presence of Almighty God as anywhere else I've ever been. And there's some of you in a time of a change. And Jason, it's a little difficult time for you right now, but that word perseveres for you. You turned around and Michael going, yeah, 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 but it's for you too. Persevere. God's got His hand on you in a special way, in a mighty way. And it's going to be some things God's going to speak to you, and you're going to have to listen. You're really going to have to listen, because they're going to be things that will need interpretation. And I don't know what all I really mean by that, but you won't understand it. It's kind of like the kings of sometimes in the Old Testament, they had dreams and they didn't understand it, and they'd go to the prophet and he would interpret the dream. And sometimes it just over a process of time, it became relevant. It became evident to them what it was. And so keep that ear open. Keep that heart open, that spirit open, and listen to what He says, and then act upon it. And don't be hesitant, or don't be set back by what you don't understand, because the understanding will come. The understanding will come. So don't take it as a setback. Just take it as a setup for what's going to happen. What's going to happen in the future. And these seasons are good. Seasons are good. It's good. It's a good season we're in. Amen. It's a good season. Ralph, we've been, we talked about Glory Sunday, and the first time I met Ralph, my uncle introduced me to him, Uncle Andrew, and he came and did a revival for us on High Falls Road, and we had a service for which he preached for 2.5 hours. Two and a half hours. One setting. He's not going to do that tonight. But at the end of that service, not one person moved. And I think I might have told you this story before. I've told you a lot of stories. But well, we were both up front here, and there was just this presence of God. And I looked in the back, and there was this cloud. I mean, a visual. I saw it, and I walked over to him, and people were just worshiping God and playing some music, kind of like this, and just, I said, is there something in the back of this building? You remember that? And he looked up and said, yeah, it's a cloud. Like, okay, what? That's something kind of special, ain't it? And it was glory. And so Sunday, when you came to me after the service and you came up to me in the foyer, you never know what it meant to me when you said, "Son, you found your life's message. You found your life's message." And I thought, wow, took a long time to find that. But that's where it started. It started way back then. It's all about Him. All about Him. His glory. He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it. Will complete it. He that hath begun a good work in you, girl, he's going to complete it. He's a complete. He's going to complete the good work he starts in you. Just all you got to do not to miss it is just don't give up. That's it. Just don't give up. Persevere. Keep moving. Keep going. He'll have you. He's got a plan. We got a part. Perseverance is the key. Amen. Good things, good things, good things, good things. You're going to look back one day and go, gosh, I'm glad I didn't give up. Wow, oh, I'm so glad I didn't give up. I'm so glad I persevered. I'm so glad I didn't throw in the towel. I'm so glad I didn't quit. You'll look back. Can't tell you how grateful, how thankful, how happy, and blessed you're going to be because you didn't give up. There's not a person here who has at times in their life in different circumstances and different situations want to throw a towel in. Not a one of us. Whether it was a relationship or this or that, a job, not one of us at some time in our life didn't just want to go, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. But then one day you look back and you go, wow, I'm so glad back then I didn't throw it in. I'm so glad. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he saw down the corridors of time. And for that, he persevered. Amen. Come on, my friend. You know how to turn that mic on?
Amen. I thought Buren had maybe forgot about that service in June of 76. And that's when it was. And that was the night when Bobby O'Neill, you remember? Couldn't walk. Then had a couple surgeries on the leg, couldn't walk. And me and Buren one said, "Give me them crutches." We took the crutches away from him. He started walking. And started walking. We were in the glory. We were in the glory. There's a scripture that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ outside of you. But Christ in you. Now, that's not in theory. That's in actuality. But it will never become actuality to you till you acknowledge it. Now, the actual rendering, Greek rendering translation of that is Christ in you, as you, among you, and as you is the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's what the King James Version says. But the actual Aramaic says, which is what Jesus spoke in, not English. Christ in you, among you, and as you is the hope of glory. There's more to you than you see. And you won't see it until you acknowledge it. That's the unique thing about it. Buren called me last night in their glory meeting, Dusty's, and said, was you here last month on Wednesday night when I said, no, Joey graciously took it for me. I was here from about 9:30 till about 3:30, and so Joey took it, so I wasn't here. He said, well, Lord, I need you to do me a favor tomorrow night. Sure. I want you just think of something. Now, that's wild. That's like growing wild onions, telling me just think of something. It never stops. So we went to have lunch today at Milltown, and I told Gayla today, I have eaten the foods of the gods, the nectar of the gods. Go to Milltown. Get that roast beef sandwich they have. Your anointing will increase by 30% just by smelling it and by eating it. Now, I said, because I saw Margaret and Kitty come in talking to them, and I started to tell Margaret and tell Ken, I believe it's gluten-free. After all, quantum physics says nothing real till you acknowledge it anyway. So anyway, I've been making a statement for the last 5-6 years to a lot of people, especially people that I feel drawn to. Not everybody, but people I really feel drawn to. And I have made this statement to them. Some of you here, I've made this statement to. The days of you growing in God is over. You can only grow so much in God until you reach the end of growing in God. But at that moment, when you acknowledge that you can grow no more in God, and if you still think you can, you ain't reached that point yet. But when you reach a point that the burden of the Lord, His burden becomes so heavy in you, that is a psychological change you're fixing to go through. And in this psychological change, you're no longer going to grow in God, but now God's going to grow in you. And that is a psychological change. That ain't religion. That's the path Isaiah talked about that no vulture has seen and the unclean thing can't dwell on. When God began growing in you, it's a psychological change you're going to go through. Now, when you're growing in God, you can't pray enough. You want to pray. You want to sing. You want to dance. You want to do missions. You want to do this. You want to do that. You just want to do everything you can for God, because now your main thrust is doing. Can't do enough. But when God begins to grow in you, God's not now moving you into doing. Now the main thrust shifted. Now you just want to be. Be what? Be God. Be whatever God is. Now, someone told me not long ago, thank you, my friend. Thank you. Now, Jesus said, if you give a cup, a small cup, Lord knows what's going on when you give a whole bottle this cold. You just want to be. And you know when you get into that psychological point, because frustration sets in. And when frustration begins to set in, all of a sudden church is not interesting, praying ain't interesting, reading your Bible ain't interesting, a lot of things ain't interesting anymore, and you try to make it happen, and it won't happen, the more frustrated you get. But now religion got an answer for that. That's the old devil. No, that ain't the old devil, that's God trying to change places. And now spirit begins to grow in you. Now, things you did to grow in God is not the thing God's going to do in you to grow in you. His ways is not your ways. His thoughts is not your thoughts. His favorite songs ain't your favorite songs. His blessings ain't your blessings. But is God making you as he ordained you to be, as he is, so are you. Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would John say that in 3 John? For as he is, emphatically, as he is, so are we in this earth. I had a thought come to me last week, and I sent this out. Help me, Jesus. See, when you're growing in you, you got to call on him to help you a lot. I had this thought. I wrote it down. I sent it to several people. You probably, some of you here, not got it. In these times of relevant change, I personally believe those who have remained learners will inherit the heaven in the earth. How many believe you ain't got to wait till you get to heaven to experience heaven? Heaven is not a location to get to. Heaven is a frame of mind to live in. Hell is not a location. Now, if you want to be a location that Uncle Bubba's in, burning like bacon, okay. But hell is not a location to get to. Hell is a condition of your mind many God's people live in. Through torment. Sad. In these relevant times of change, I personally believe that those who remain learners will inherit heaven while still here on earth, while those who have learned will find themselves unequipped to deal with a changing world that no longer exists. It only exists in the figment of your imagination. The world that was is only a figment of your imagination. Now, this is proven by medical science. This is proven by biology. For instance, every living cell you got in your body now, you didn't have 5 years ago. You ain't the same person you was 5 years ago. Every cell dies and reproduces more cells. You ain't got a hair on your head you had 5 years ago. Much less the rest of your body. Because everything you, your entire biological body is forever changing, evolving. And if your mind don't evolve like that, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be aggravated. Now, to grow in God, you have to, we all start out with the same basis. We all start out believing the God I pray to is my Heavenly Father, out there, up there, everywhere, omnipresent. Nothing. That's a genuine fact. But you don't want to keep thinking that same thing 50 years from now. Because if you need God, God outside of you ain't going to help you. Only in the figment of your imagination. But it's the God you will become. Now, the greatest honor of anything is to become it. Kitty not only plays beautiful music, beautiful praise, but after all these years, Kitty has become the music. Praise is not something I do. Praise is what I, after 10 years, 24/7, have become. I spoke to a brother coming in Thursday. His face kept rising up before me. Thursday morning. I was coming here to the office, and his face just kept coming before me. And I've learned when that happened, give him a call. So I gave him a call, and I just let him know what a wonderful man I thought he is. And he thanked me. He didn't know how to thank me, but he thanked me, and I really mean that. And I said, now what you got to do, you're going to have to understand two things, the gift you are and the gift you possess. And the only way to acknowledge, to activate the gift that you possess is by acknowledging the gift you are. See, you do more than possess gifts. You are the gift. Christ in you, among you, and as you is the hope of glory. Man told me one time, he said, I can't say that. I can't say that about myself. I said, you don't have to. Take Jesus' word. He said it. If nothing else, how many know agreeing with Jesus, you ain't going to go wrong? Well, I think I do. No, you don't. If you think you're anything but an Elohim, you don't think what Jesus think. Jesus told them same disciples, them same 12 people that couldn't get it. They had a hard time getting it. And Jesus said, did not I say, is it not written? I love Jesus' wording in John 10. Is it not written in your law? I mean, you are going by the law of Moses, aren't you? You are going by the old Mosaic law. That's the breakaway from the old to the new. And what was ain't no more. That was hard for them to accept, just like it is in 2015. I just can't accept it. And Jesus said, is it not written in your law that you are called, and he quoted Psalms, that you are called God's, G-O-D-S. In the Aramaic, it says, are you not called Elohim's, which is Greek for creators? And then Jesus said, and your law, once it says you're the creator, cannot be broken. So really, Jesus, I don't care if you believe you are or not. Off. You're going to create either your messes or your blessings. And so from that, we come up with the theory, the devil made me do it. And I told you my story last time here. I preached about being in England, and they asked me, did I believe in the devil? And I said, no, I believe in God. And then they tried to interpret what I said, and they said, so you saying there's no devil? I didn't say that. I said, you asked me the question, do I believe in the devil? I said, no, I believe in God. So you saying there's no devil? I didn't say that. I know I'm speaking South Georgia in London, England, in the King's English. But I know how to make it more plain. I didn't say there is no devil. I say if you want one, you can have one. You're the creator. And you can make him as big and bad as you want to. Well, Jesus acknowledged him. Jesus paid him no attention. There's only two bits of conversation that Jesus even glanced towards him. The first one was, shut up. And the second one was, get behind me. Don't sound like they were bosom buddies. How did the garden snake in Genesis become a fire-breathing dragon by the time he got to Revelation? Because he eats dust, carnality, mentalness of man. You made him. But anyway, that's not what I want to say to you. See, when God is growing in you, I'm getting to it. See, when God is growing in you, God don't have no devils. Because God don't have no enemies. No one in the Bible says that the roaring lion is God's enemy. He says, your enemy ain't God's. See, to be an enemy, you got to have an equal. That's why he's your enemy, because you made him your equal. The Cuban Air Force, with their three crop dusters, is not a threat to the United States borders. It's not. To be an enemy, you got to be an equal. Who do you say I am? See, Jesus kept pointing to the people of this. Why didn't Jesus teach? He did teach this. If you would let God begin to grow in you, he will show you what Jesus would teach you. Now, religion won't teach it to you, because religion has got to make you dependent on a God up there, out there somewhere, that you got to have help from. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And nothing wrong with that. You're growing in God. But when God growing in you, he ain't going to buy that. You can't feed him that bottle. You're not going to feed him that bottle. God only eats glory. God only dwells in glory. God only dwells in God. God's out looking for God in you. How do I get to that point, Brother Ralph? Well, I want it to change. I want it. God, go ahead, accept your psychological change and die to your beliefs and what you believe, and let God start growing and moving and developing in you. Well, I don't want to make a mistake. That's a sure way not to make one. That is how you don't make one. When you don't want to miss it, you won't. Well, I'm not perfect. And I want to ask you, after 20 years of being saved, 5 years of being saved, why aren't you? Well, you're not perfect. By whose measuring stick? Go back again. What are you measuring it by? Do you mean I never stumped my toe? You mean when I walked upstairs, downstairs, four times this afternoon, and finally I walked back down, after being here since 8:30 this morning, walked back upstairs to get the truck key because I forgot it. I didn't want to say, damn it, I forgot that truck key. Yeah, God said it. And friend said, Ralph, repent. Thank you. Because she said, you're driving my truck. My truck is not, damn it. It's a Dodge Ram, not a damn it. It's not worthless. And I said, you're right. Thank God I got a wife that hold my feet to the fire. Am I condemned? You can't condemn God. The only way God can be condemned is condemn himself. And if God ever condemned himself, he counseled himself out. And the reason many times you condemn yourself because it's a spirit telling you you've been in grammar school too long. It's time to come up hither. I must show you things that's coming hereafter. Change, change, change. I'm living in a changing world. But Brother Ralph, if I give up, I got a friend of mine, went to high school with him. Best man at his wedding in July of 1969. We still talk to each other. I called him this afternoon and he was telling me about another girl we went to school with, her grandson died. He went to the funeral Sunday. And Reverend Joe Allen in Thomaston, he's been a pastor as long as I've been, and pastored 8, 9 Baptist churches. And he laughed. He said, you're going to get a kick out of this. I said, what's that, Jubbo? He said, I went to Justin's funeral. Yeah. Man, they didn't even have no singing. They played CDs. Like some rock and roll song at the funeral. So? He said, Reba, his wife, punched me when we got in the car coming home. She said, Jabbo, you better get caught up with times. Times are changing, son. See, he had problem with playing a rock and roll CD song at a funeral. They should have a song. That confused him. This is a new trend coming. And what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? The only thing that will reject it would be your ability to change. It's changing. When God is growing in you, a lot of things you got by with when you're growing in God. But when God's growing in you, it's different. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. As the heavens is above the earth, so is his thoughts above yours. And you've got to rise up for those thoughts. Rise up for those thoughts. That's why the main emphasis on you growing in God is doing. But the main emphasis when God growing in you is being. Because the greatest honor of anything is to become it. Praise now is not something I do. Praise now is what I am. See, you can become such a tither. The tithing is not something you do anymore. You are the tithe. You can be such a prayer that prayer ain't something you do now. Prayer, you become prayer. The greatest honor of anything is to become it. By now, you're not still trying to do the Father thing. You are the Father. How many know Ken, Dr. Ken Mellis, has become gluten-free? He's not trying to do it anymore. It's him. His life message, which is deep, is change. Change for health, change for life, which is spiritual. When I saw Margaret today, I said to Margaret, I bet you were glad now you didn't throw away that 1969 cheerleader uniform you had, didn't you? You kept it. Looking good, girl. Health. Edifying, encourage, building each other up. What would God do if he's here Sunday morning? Would he be in church? Or would he be the church? I be the church. I am the church. We've heard all our life, well, we need to know Jesus. Know Jesus or be Jesus? Which one? That's a big difference. Well, I can't be. Who told you can't be? Who ever told Calvin Hart that he cannot be the living Christ? The only body that will ever tell Calvin that will be him. And everybody else he shouldn't listen to. I see it. That's why I tell every client I have, there's more to you than you see. There's nothing you can't do except but limit yourself. Why? That's what Buren was saying a while ago. If you cannot be conquered, if you cannot be defeated, why quit? Why quit? To be. Sitting there one day waiting on a client, and I always use Miss Connie as my pin cushion. Stick pins in, see how she responds. Not one time have I seen her head turn around yet. So I was giving Connie my explanation of the word become. Love that word, become. It ain't come be, it become. Whatever's to come will never come till you first be. And then whatever you be, you attract what come is to be attached to it. So what do you want to become? Well, I want to be a strong man of God. Then be it. And that will come to pass. I want to be a good mother. Then be it. And you will become one. See, the essence of what Jesus is saying to us is be. Be. Jesus even said, dear God, people, either be hot or cold. Dear God, don't be lukewarm. Be one or the other. Be. Be. As I told Dusty years ago, Dusty, you didn't grow. Oh, you're going to grow in God's. Now, God is growing in you. Growing in you. God is now filling you up. You fill God up so much that now he turned the favor and filling you up. And now those that have an ear to hear and eyes to see, that's all we see. God. That's why you got to be given eyes to see it. What do I see when I see Joey Grubbs? I see Mr. Podge. I see a Mr. Mojo. Filled with mojo. Filled with enthusiasm, which happens to me, the breath of God. He's become it. He don't try to do it. He be it. It's not waiting on God to come and do it to you. He said it's finished. And I want to thank all of you, every one of you. Every day. Technically, I have a count. I have somewhere close to several hundred people follow me every day on what I write. Now, y'all don't like it. You should like it. But you ain't got to hit like. I know who you are. And there's been a major change in the last 6 months in my writing. I've been cautious. Be careful how you step, People's not ready for this cheese yet. Till I come to the conclusion. Like we used to play hide and go seek. Ready or not? Here I come. You can't stop the coming of the Lord. You can't stop when it's your time and season, David. That's been written for you ever was a gleam in your mama and daddy's eyes. You came here coded to win. You came here pre-programmed to win. Well, why ain't I winning? Because you ain't got on board with it yet. Because you're the controller of your life. Holy Spirit is. Really? Really? Well, he's leading you wrong. Because where he's leading you is leading you and directing you to be. Because when you be whatever you're to be, you'll be at peace. You'll be at peace. No more frustration. No more struggling. Now you don't look to a God out there somewhere to do it for you. You look to yourself, and God's going to do it in you and through you and as you. That's what's going to do it. One short thing, 2 minutes, I'll be through. Bjorn asked me to share this. I shared it with talking to, I think it was Barbara the other day, and we were talking about a friend of ours. And I told Barbara, this friend of ours reminded me so much a lot. How many believe you read the Bible and know? And see, when God's growing in you, you don't read the Bible anymore as a history book. You see it now as a book of metaphors, principles. You mean it ain't true? On what level you want to be true on? I was at a place not long ago when I preached a message on the Wizard of Oz. And I mean, I got great response from it. Dorothy is you. You're in a dream. And the nightmare, the wicked witch, is really how you treat an old bad lady down the road. And all the field hands of people you've known your whole life. And the wizard himself is telling you, follow the yellow brick road laid out there. And you're going to find the tin man, the straw man, the lion, they're going to all wind up having the heart, the brain, and the courage that each one had their whole life. They just didn't know it until they met the wizard. Yes, that same thing I used to look at, shake and scared, and don't want to sleep with dark, sleep with the lights on. And then when she woke up, it was all a dream. In the book of the Tao, it says this in one of the verses. You won't change. You just wake up. And you just wake up. And you awake and remember, as God told Job. Job, don't you remember? When you and I laid the foundation of the earth? Don't you remember? Job woke up and he remembered. You're going to wake up and you're going to remember. That's why I love that song by Adele. She's trying to tell that old boy of hers left her. You picked a bad time to leave me. We could have had it all if you'd stayed. You could have it all. But I'm looking for God to give it to me. Hello, God. Quantum physics says nothing is real till you say it's real. Ain't that right, Ike? Huh? When you say it's real, it becomes real. You say I'm having a bad day, you're going to have a bad day. That backs up what Jesus said. You're Elohim. That's why I love that movie. That's why I believe movie's been preaching more of kingdom of God than churches has. How many remember that movie, Groundhog Day? You're going to keep living it till you get it right. You're going to keep going. I wake up every day and circle till you get it right. And how many know if knowing Jesus would get it right for you, you would have got it right 30 years ago. But knowing Jesus won't get it right. You've got to become Jesus. As he is, so are you. That's the glory. That's more to you than you see. How many know the angels could not destroy, according to the Bible, angels could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, though it was a wicked city, until they got Lot out of there. How many remember reading that? How many remember the angels saying, we can't destroy this city until we get you out of here? Huh? How many remember any of that? So why are you listening to Fox News and believe that world America going to hell in a handbasket? You still here. Why do you believe the doom and gloom? You still here. The angels told Lot, we cannot destroy this city till you get out of here. And you know, three times in Genesis 19 it says, and Lot lingered. Lingered for what? Not wanting to leave a doomed place? Why haven't you forsaken that mind you've had? Why don't you leave it? Why you still keep going back to it? Why you still? Anyway. But the angels told Lot, now that we got you out of this city, you see yonder mountains, high elevations, higher consciousness, higher way of living, higher way of thinking. Go there and you'll be safe. And when the angel said, see yonder mountains, see the mountains, go there, you be safe. Lot spoke up and said, yeah, but do y'all see yonder city? Called Zoar, which means little. It's a lot closer. We want to go there. Do you know what the angels, Betsy didn't argue with them? Okay, if that's what you want, have at it. And Lot settled for little. And settling for little, he lost his wife, turned stone, and he had incest with his two daughters. Because he settled for little instead of going to the high mountains. Don't settle. Allow God to work in you. Well, how did I get him started? Well, let's start off by asking him. How can I get Elizabeth to cook me some of them great cookies she cook? Well, the first thing to do, let's ask her. How do I get God growing in my life? Have you asked him? Growing me. Now, this is a big thing. And he will. Oh, he will. But then when he starts throwing out family heirlooms, sacred cows. But whoa, not that. I needed that when I was growing in you. I know you did, and I permitted you to have it. But now I don't need it growing in you. It's now become a hindrance. It's now become, see, what God told Moses to tell Israel, that bring healing to them to lift up a serpent on a pole, came out later to be their hindrance. They had to get rid of it. What God one time blessed, now is hindering. I can't believe that. Because God never changes. Who told you God never changed? Well, God said he never changed. Really? If God said he never changed, okay, then he don't. But you got to remember, you ain't never seen all of God. He's showing you parts of him you ain't never seen before. You're the one brought absolute to the table, not God. And when you bring the absolute to the table, he don't abide by your rules. I told Buren, I heard a cry from Buren Sunday morning. Not with these. Having ears and hear not, having eyes and see not. I saw and I heard a cry, a deep groan cry come from Buren, that I only heard that when people have discovered their life message. I heard that in me 7 years ago about being positive. And this is what I told Buren standing right out there. When you take a thought and you choose to make it your dominant thought and hold it as your dominant thought, the vibration of that thought, because all energy vibrates, And all a thought is an atom, not an A-D-A-M, but an A-T-O-M. And when you capture it and hold it as your dominant thought, and you take an atom and you restrict it and bring it down, it causes such a vibration that it heats up until it reaches the critical point. And when it does, it then explodes and explodes the billions around it. When you take a dominant thought, Buren, like glory, 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 I want to be weighed by your glory. I want the glory of God, the glory, and make it your dominant thought, your dominant word, your dominant thinking. Hold it until it explodes. And when it explodes nothing but around you but glory. But glory, and then you become it. And when you become it, it's your life message. Your sermon days of preaching sermons is over. See, I can't preach no more. Well, I wish you told me before I came here tonight. I can't preach no more. I was in Tennessee 4 or 5 months ago. I got it back, really wanted to preach this message, couldn't. Fell flat on my face trying to preach. Quit preaching it, went back to positive. You can only do what your life message is. That is what's been given to you. Now that is your allotted, your appointed part, Ecclesiastes talked about. And Ecclesiastes says, when a man accepts his appointed part, he will be given, Joey, his allotted lot. That tells me there's things laid up for you, allotments, but you can't get them till you accept your appointed part. Ken, your appointed part is nutrition. And when you accepted that appointed part, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't come out with a book, How to Feed Dogs, Cats, Healthy. Because that's your appointed part. And you've got now receive your allotted lot. What comes with it? It ain't no longer praying, God, give this to me. God, give this to me. It's allotted to you. And you don't want nothing but your allotted lot. Because you know now what your appointed part is. Amen? Okay. All right. Children's church will be over in 8 minutes. Michael, did you hear what Pastor Buren said to you a while ago? Put in King James Version. Buren put in Amplified. The King James says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you reap not. Now you listen to me. Take the word how and the word when and get rid of it out of your vocabulary. How and the word how and the word when are the hounds of hell that sits around in chains, in darkness, barking at you every day. How, when. You shut them up. How's going to happen? When it happens. When's it going to happen? When it happens. You get rid of those two words. Those two words will drive you to the madness of doing stuff stupid. How? As smart as Joey Grubbs is, he couldn't have figured this mojo ministry out if he'd have tried. How's unfolding? So I told, same thing I told Joey, get rid of how and when. You got to get rid of these words. Because if you don't, they turn into the hounds of hell. How's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Yeah, right. When's that going to happen? Well, when is it going to happen? See, remember, are you ready for this? Hold on to your halo. The ego of you has got to know how and when. The ego, the lower self, will demand how. You've got to tell me how. And I won't be satisfied until I know when. That's your ego. Edging God out. Acronym for edging God out. So tell the howling hell of how. How? Beats me? Well, I got no when. Well, when it happened? When will it happen? Don't know. When? See, the highest form of faith is not believing. The highest form of faith is trusting. Rest in trusting. People that rest in trust don't know how and don't know when. They don't fool with that. They just know I be. And I'm sorry that Jesse Jackson went 15 years in the future and stole my buzzwords. And that is, I do be somebody. I be somebody. You are somebody. Elizabeth, the beauty on the inside of you is radiant that shines out of you. And what's going to activate is for you to look in the mirror and acknowledge it. And by simply acknowledging it, it activated. It activated. Linda Kendricks, the moment you will agree with God that you be somebody. I am somebody. I ain't waiting on it to happen. I already am. It will be activated. That's why I told Joe, acknowledge the gift you are. Joe Hardwick is a gift to the body of Christ, no to humanity. He's a gift to kitty cats, puppy dogs. He's a gift to creation. He's God's gift to humanity and to creation. Acknowledge that. What would be wrong with Dr. David Hitson acknowledging the fact, I am a great doctor. I am good with my patients. I do take time. I do love my patients. What would be the harm of that? Nothing other than elevate him higher than what he is now. What if you quit believing what Aunt Versie said about you and start believing what God said about you? Now, this is the kicker. You're going to always believe what you say about you. So say something good. Okay? Michael, you hear me? Love you. Dusty, it's growing in you now. The only thing, my dear, that will ever, ever, ever limit you will be your own mind thinking small. And if your mind will never limit what spirit not going to do, future tense, is doing. See, that's what we got to get out of talking to God in future tense. Well, I believe he's going to do it. He's done it. How many know that your Bible said, Jesus said, it's finished? Who has a Bible Jesus said, I'm finished? He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. Now, if it's finished, like I wrote out there on Facebook, and we were trained this back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, let's hurry and pray so we can hurry up and move heaven. How can you move something that's already finished? And David said, forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven, because we were led to believe if we get together and pray real hard, we'll make God hurry up like Uncle Bursey. Come on, step. High step it. You ain't gonna get God moved no quicker. It's already finished. It's already settled. You've got to line yourself up to what's finished and what's settled and be thankful and appreciative for it. So like Delmar said, oh, no, brother, where art thou? Come on in, brothers. The water is just fine. Amen? Mary, I'm here to tell you now, every good thing you've ever did and for Sister Goss is laid up for you in heaven. And heaven ain't one day when you cross over Jordan. Your heaven account is right now. I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you, as you've done it to her, the saint, you've done it to him. He's just waiting on you to tell him what to do for you. And start believing it. Okay, I'm going to let Bjorn come up now and prophesy, not me, because if I get started... Oh, David, my man, you're a new generation, son. You're a glass of new wine that cannot be put in old wineskins. And the biggest confusion you have a lot of times in your mind is, how does this fit into what I used to know? It don't. It can't. Go with it. Don't be able to just go with it. Amen. Bearing a turn over you, man.
There it is. When Jet was born, I was in the hospital, and I looked at Dusty, and I said, this one's going to be mine. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, Nan got Anna, and she got John Henry. I mean, it's all about Nan. I said, this one's going to be mine. Well, he still comes in the door screaming Nan, just Nan. And he goes running to her just like the other two did. I don't care if I'm there with whatever. Nan, Nan. But he acts like me. He dances like me. He is me. He got sick at school a couple of weeks ago, and they said, Jet, you sick? He said, I'm sick of school. He be me. We'll come up and give him a couple of things that we got coming up. But one thing I want you to remember, this coming Sunday morning is a lady from London, England named Jo Naughton. And Brandy was talking about her, that he was reading the book. But the book is out there if you want to purchase one for $15. But I have been, if what is told me is half true, it's going to be one awesome, powerful service. That's all I'd say. If what's told me is half true, it's going to be something else.
The vision here at Eagles Way is that we be fully or completely committed to Christ, irrevocably committed to one another, and passionate about reaching the lost. And I'm so proud to be a part of an organization, a church, that's what their goal is. That's what their mindset is. And I was in a workshop today, and it's called Charity Detox. Basically, it's about how sometimes giving to people, you can actually hurt them more if you're doing it incorrectly. I got overwhelmed within the workshop and of all that needs to be done and all that needs to take place. And at the end of the workshop, you go through a lot of different things in workshops, but they said write down one word that you need to write down to describe where you're at and what's taking place. And not even thinking about what our topic is here this month, my word was just perseverance. And the lady behind me, we said it at the same time. We ended up high-fiving each other. Said all that to say, for you as a member of Eagles Way Church, to be fully committed to Christ and irrevocably committed to one another and passionate about reaching the lost, there's opportunities for you to put that into action. We have coming up on the 18th of this month, which is two Wednesday nights from now, I think. Is that right? Two Wednesday nights from now. Our thanks and giving meal, we turn this room into our dining hall. And we have a lot of fun at that meal. We're going to be doing Family Feud. We are going to have the Thurston family against the Kendrick Fulop Langston family. So you're not going to want to miss that. It'll be Lena is team captain, and Marla is team captain for the other family, and so you're going to want to make sure that you are here. It'll be great. And also that evening, Pastor Bieran is going to be sharing some more vision with you for 2016 and some things that we'll be moving towards. So it'll be very exciting. You want to be a part of that. I do need 7 more people to cook a turkey for that evening. I will give you the turkey on the Sunday before. You take it home, cook it, bring it back carved or taken off the bone by 5:30 on that Wednesday evening. So if you're interested in doing that, you can call the church office or on your connection card Sunday morning. You can sign up to do that. We have also, I think we have 12 more slots, or maybe it may only be 11 more slots of the following week. We need 11 more turkeys cooked for the Thanksgiving meal for the poor and needy in our community. And so if you're interested in baking or cooking a turkey, need for you to do that. Also, you saw our Christmas tree out there, the angel tree. I think, was it 40, Connie? We've had 40 already of the 200 taken as far as going to provide a gift for. So in the first Sunday, everybody kind of jumped on it, and I'm so excited. So if you are interested, what it is you are not providing Christmas to a child or to a family. You're providing a gift, and that gift is coming from an incarcerated parent, whether it could be mom, it could be dad. And that gift, the child is being invited to come on December 13th here to hear. We're having a children's production at 3 o'clock, so you want to come to the children's production. And then they will go and have a Christmas party up in the youth building afterwards. And I don't know if you were here last year when Ray Goolsbee shared that when he was incarcerated and gifts were given to his children, and when he got out of prison, he went and his daughter was able to pull out all of the gifts, not one of the gifts, not two of the gifts, but all of the gifts that had been given to her from him, and how he broke because of that, and the difference that it means in that child's life. And then on December 6th is going to be a ladies' dessert evening. It's called the Heart of Christmas. Some of you may have thought that or heard that the date was going to be on Friday the 4th, but they have made the decision to do it on Sunday the 6th. It will be from 6 to 8, and it is a dessert only, so ladies, make sure that you eat an early dinner, and then you can come eat dessert. But there's going to be four ladies sharing that evening. I think my daughter might be one of them. And I think it's Connie, I think, is going to be sharing, and Lindsay Grubbs is sharing. Is there somebody else? Oh, and Lauren is going to be sharing. So you don't want to miss that. So it'll be particular event is going to be in the youth building, not in here. So there will be a choral concert going on in here. So when you get here on the 6th, don't be confused and come in and go, what in the world is going on? So that will be up in the youth building. So those are the things I wanted to share, opportunities that you can give, touch people's lives, and allow Christ to be shared with them. All 200 of those Angel Tree kids that will be invited are going to have, the gospel is going to be presented during that children's production before we then love on them and give them a gift. Anything else that needs to be said or shared? Well, if you'll stand, we'll dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can worship you, that we can be. Lord, continue, Father, Lord, to show us what that means in our individual lives of being. Continue to work and grow in us. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.